Okay. Andres, would you like to say anything before we get started with the action item stuff?
No, I think what we talked about of reviewing what's in the bylaws about the criteria to review and then just going over the action items is fun.
Beautiful.
I guess
Deborah,
one thing,
feel free to,
one
oh,
thing to note is that the executive committee was canceled today.
Okay.
Two of the members weren't able to make it, so if there's anything that has to be appealed, we still have to set up follow-up time for the executive committee to meet.
Perfect. Deborah and Mike, I just invite you guys to jump in at any point if you feel that something that wasn't said needs to be said, or any perspective should be that you want to share should be shared. I'll just start things off real quick by saying that we agreed when we passed the bylaws that we were going to allow people on the RSC to propose action items and that they would go through a review process where we examine objectively, not based on our opinions or our feelings or whether something's a good idea or not, whether something falls under the umbrella of the ordinance that established the RSC. And so basically any action item needs to be a landlord-tenant policy initiative, a landlord-tenant regulation or program involving with the budget, with the, I'm assuming the Portland Housing Bureau, or some element of community involvement. So the rules are that if a quorum unanimously says that an individual action item falls under those guidelines, it moves forward for discussion and a vote, and any one individual has the right to say no. It doesn't fall under those guidelines, and at that point it goes through an appeals process, which has been determined through the bylaws. Deborah and Mike, is there anything you wanted to add before I figured I could just read off all the action items and we could just go through them one by one real quick?
No, I'm good.
All right, great. And thank you both for being here and being part of this process. It's awesome to work with you guys.
My pleasure.
So I'm just going to read off the security deposit action items. These action items all came up on the June 19th meeting. They were sent out in email format by the PHB. And so I'm just going to list them one by one, and I'll start with myself, and I'll say a yay or nay, and then we'll go to Deborah and then Mike. Does that sound good?
Yeah, I'm just closing some doors in my conference room real quick, so give me 1 second to get back to my table.
Okay, great. Okay, so the first item is pertaining to the security deposit proposal that came to us to define structural and non-structural items. This falls under the RSC's establishing ordinance.
I agree.
Next, clarify who determines the length of time for paying in installments. I believe that qualifies under the ordinance.
I agree.
Next, clarify a month's rent, in quotes, the term a month's rent for security deposit cap. I believe this falls under the ordinance.
I agree as well.
Agree.
I apologize, Deborah. I did not mean to interrupt. Next, remove reference to first month's rent. The security deposit cap amount should be determined by if prepaid rent for last month is required. I believe this falls under the ordinance.
Yeah, I think it's a little, I think we just need to address verbiage on what our actual action step is there. But yeah, I agree. It does fall in the ordinance and we need to do something about that.
Gotcha.
I concur with Mike.
Great. Can I ask some follow-up questions from you two about moving forward with this particular item?
Yeah.
Sure.
Specifically, so the options are basically, you both said you agree, so that means it advances. And at the time that it advances, we're just going to need to kind of establish kind of more nuanced, in-depth discussion about the issues that you guys raised, or you guys could vote against it and it goes to executive committee. So I just want to confirm that.
No, I definitely want to go forward. I think, okay. I guess it comes a little bit more out of the yay, basically when we say yes, we agree, we agree that we need to move forward with this being an action item. So is that all we're doing right now is just agreeing whether
yes.
you think
yes.
forward
yes.
or don't
it's
move forward?
It's not on substance.
Okay, and then there will be a next step where we actually work on this substance portion, is that correct?
Right. So at the whenever we take a vote, when this proposal comes to the RSC, at that point is when we will discuss the substantive changes that either of you or anyone else in the RSC feels need to be addressed before, you know, you agree to support or withhold support for it.
Right.
Yoni, if I could jump in really quick.
Yeah,
absolutely. Something that, so right now you're reviewing these to see if they're within the ordinance, and that's the purpose of this meeting. But something that's an option to all RSC members at any point is this list of action items is generated from staff based off of what we heard at the meeting. And so as a result, the specific language is frequently what we have created. And so any RSC member can give feedback to, I don't think this is written clearly, or there isn't like an action verb in the second sentence, and that's something that we can take and bring back to the commission. So it isn't necessarily it's separate from the question of is this under the ordinance, but if you have any feedback on the language, we are always welcome to taking that.
Gotcha. So Mike and Deborah, I actually think that's important here because it sounds like it's a substance, it's an important issue, and maybe we can motion that we revisit this action item at the beginning of the next RSC meeting and just clarify what the intent was of, you know, that the intent of the action item, the person who proposed it, was not addressed in the language of PHB. Are you guys okay with that?
Yeah, I like that idea,
yeah.
actually.
Mm-hmm.
Andres, is that okay? Is that concurrent with what you were saying?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Okay, great. So that will be brought up again, and we can just do a quick vote at the beginning of the next RSC meeting once the language has been adjusted. Moving on, clarify contiguous area for carpet. I believe that's under the ordinance.
I agree.
The
next item, define basic cleaning and filth. I believe that falls under the ordinance.
I agree.
Agree.
The next item, modify the depreciation table. Substandard appliances don't last 27 years, which could disproportionately impact low-income tenants. I believe this falls under the ordinance.
I agree.
Agree.
Next item, concern around requiring landlords to maintain documents going back 27 years. I believe this falls under the ordinance. It would be helpful if we could define that particular concern, just so, because I believe it's a very relevant concern, and I think it's important for it to be brought up. I want us to be specific about kind of what the best alternative is, in other words. You know, what is a fair alternative? So I'm happy to agree to it, but I want your thoughts, Deborah and Mike.
Yeah, first I agree. I think we just need to, the problem is the language in the proposed ordinance is written is very vague. I'm trying to find that section right now so I can actually quote what it is. But it's the way it's written is I think the current interpretation is an excessive requirement for a landlord to keep and maintain those types of records.
Yeah.
And so what I envision is we provide an opinion as the RSC is what is a reasonable request for how we value a depreciated item. And record keeping shouldn't necessarily be a part of that valuation equation.
Got it. So
there has to be an alternative way to come up with value than just showing a receipt.
Got it. That is much more clarified. And I don't think we maintain the authority to adjust the verbiage of the action item here, but I think if it's okay with you guys, we should do the same thing we just did to the other one, the security deposit cap, and just have those two come up and just clarify what exactly we want the rest of the RSC to take up, if that's okay.
Correct.
Go ahead. Just the way that Mike framed it just now, I think, is an excellent way of framing it.
Yeah, I do too. Yeah, I think it's, in other words, we're re-examining, re-examine what the language is and propose an alternative that is more reasonable in your view or in whoever proposed its view.
Right. I think isn't that kind of the goal behind the RSC as a whole, is to give an opinion letter to City Council that says, these are areas, this is verbiage we believe can make this a more clear part of the ordinance. I may, make more fair, more clear, whatever that verbiage is. I think that is our intent, if I'm not mistaken.
Okay. That one will be put into the pile with the security deposit cap for rewording at the next RC meeting, correct?
Correct.
Yes.
Great. The next item, add to ordinary wear and tear that it will include wear and tear caused by something related to a tenant's disability. That's just basically incorporating reasonable accommodation. I think that falls under.
I agree. I think there's another. Yeah, I think this point can get combined with the other section here where we talk about that. But yes, I agree.
Agree.
Okay. And then I think it would be worth mentioning when this particular proposal or anything similar that we want to combine multiple things, we just make a motion as an RSC at the whole to basically say we would like to discuss these two things together because there's significant overlap, or they say the same thing and they're
yeah.
Something like that. The next one is add that ordinary wear and tear for households with pet or children should include ordinary wear and tear for them. I think this falls under the ordinance.
This is where I get a little, not that I don't believe it falls in the ordinance, I think that we're teetering on the line of bringing fair housing law, federal fair housing law, into the discussion. And my concern is that what basically is written here is going to contradict what landlords are supposed to do in the light of fair housing. And so I think it's, yes, I agree that it should be a discussion point, but again, I think what we need to do is limit this to something as simple as each and every occupant, rather than use the word child, use the word pet. I'm okay with pet, but I definitely don't want to be using words that are loaded fair housing words. So I would say yes with, like the other two items, where we bring this back as a group and actually come up with verbiage that doesn't violate fair housing law. Or put us in a corner where we're potentially violating fair housing law.
I think that's a fair point, and I would vote to put it in the rewording pile.
Okay.
I would too. I think that the unintended consequences of language around how many children are there, and it just is a snake pit that would open up landlords making subjective decisions around security deposits, and I think that's absolutely not what we want to have. So I think it needs, I agree it falls under the ordinance, but it has to have some serious discussion.
Great. So I just want to go on record as saying that while none of us are providing, I don't view this discussion as any of us providing a substantive opinion or value to this particular issue. It's more that we are asking for it to be reworded so that it does not call into question violations of state or federal law.
Perfect.
Correct.
Okay, right. The next item is going to be concern around defining ordinary wear and tear excessively, which could potentially violate fair housing law.
I think we just, the last item and this one are really, they're notes that are taken off the same conversation at the RSE meeting. So I think it's combining these two into one action item.
Yeah, when I, just to go on record about, I think I proposed this one and I was just simply trying to, I was simply trying to make sure that normal wear and tear included requests for reasonable accommodations and...
Gotcha.
Yeah, I think it's a little different, but maybe what we need to do is... I think it falls under the ordinance. I think we could reword it.
I agree with that. I think what may help is if we actually kind of group some of these action points, these bullet points together, because I think some of them get down to you boil them down to a similar essence, and we might be able to address them all, you know, three bullet points into one actual opinion letter or piece of an opinion letter to City Council if we group them together. So I guess that's, I think, yes, I agree, it's part of the ordinance and we need to be discussed. I think we should be discussing some of these bullet points as one big discussion rather than compartmentalized discussions.
I think that's fair. I think it would require a motion to consolidate several bullet points. So for the next RSC meeting, one of us would have to make a motion to consolidate several bullet points around a larger opinion piece that would go to City Council, kind of talking about ordinary wear and tear in general and the definition and the potential consequences of having a definition that doesn't that raises questions about violating state or federal law.
Yeah, that sounds fine. And I can come prepared to the next RSC meeting with a motion in mind specifically on what bullet points we group together for discussion.
Okay, that sounds good. So in that case,
I'll just kind of reorganize. I'll look at a way of organizing these that, hey, these three bullet points can be talked under this heading, these two under this heading. I think it'll make the next meeting a little bit more productive.
Okay. All right. I'm open to that.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. So then I just want to clarify for the record, at this point, we have unanimously approved every action item so far. However, some require rewarding or regrouping or consolidation, and which will require motions to the entire RSC.
Correct.
Yes.
Okay. The next one is modify condition reports to account for when property managers correct deficiencies identified in the move-in report. I think that falls under the ordinance.
Yes.
Yes.
Next one. And Andres and Stacey, if you have any comments about anything, feel free to jump in.
Sure.
The next one is concern that requiring landlords to serve as their own collection agency is unusual. I think that certainly falls under the ordinance. I would just like a little bit more context from the person or people who proposed that just to expound upon the concern, but I think that's more of a substance that's I just want to learn more about it, but I think it should come up for discussion as an action item.
Yeah, I agree. It's part of the ordinance. I think what the essence of this is when is it appropriate or when can a property manager engage a collections agency? I think that's where, I don't want to speak for Christian and the other people that brought it up, but I think that's their concern is, hey, sure, you're potentially making us be a collection agency for an unreasonable amount of time.
Right. And yeah, perfect. So I think that falls under the ordinance. I just want to hear more about it. So we're all on board with that?
Yes.
Great. We're on to the next page. Clarify that damage related to a modification for a tenant's disability can be charged, but damage related to an accommodation for a tenant's disability cannot be charged. I think that this falls into the other three ordinary wear and tear conversation. My point here was just to, I wanted the ordinance to just spell out that it's in compliance with federal law, which means that reasonable accommodations under federal law, unless the cost is unreasonable, are absorbed by the landlord, and modifications, the cost is usually on the tenant unless it's public housing, and a modification is described as structural. That's just, I think it can go be grouped in, Deborah and Mike, with those other three.
I agree on both. It's part of the ordinance and should move forward and can be combined in a can be part of the motion to can be combined with those other items.
Okay, great.
I concur.
Great. They're all under the ordinance then for both of you? Or
yep.
This one?
Yes.
Okay, great. Modified payment of interest from interest-bearing accounts should allow for the landlord to deduct account-associated fees or maintenance costs. I think this falls under the ordinance.
Yes.
Yes.
Modify that in the event a tenant does not complete a condition report, the landlord completes the report. The landlord shall complete a condition report and provide a copy to the tenant. I think that falls under the ordinance.
I agree.
Agree.
Add that a landlord shall give adequate notice to the tenant of when the final walkthrough inspection will occur. I think this falls under the ordinance.
I agree.
Agree.
Add that the landlord shall provide a condition report to the tenant for them to complete, along with instructions describing the condition report process. I think this falls under the ordinance. I would like to just go on record as saying that I think there's an opportunity to combine condition report bullet points together and have each of them separately addressed in a decision.
I agree.
Yeah, you mean between the landlord and the tenant? There's like an
mm-hmm.
operating portion? Yes, I agree.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Right after that, modify to allow landlords to conduct a condition report prior to move-in to assess before possible move-in related damages. I think that falls under the ordinance.
Yes, I agree.
Would this be one of the things you would want to bullet point together along with the other condition report items?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
Deborah, you're on board?
Yes.
Okay, great. And the last one, add existing federal language about reasonable accommodations that relate to modifications versus accommodations for their effect on security deposit to maintain legal consistency. That can be grouped with, I think, all of the reasonable
yep.
accommodation, modification, and wear and tear definition stuff.
Yes.
Correct. I agree.
All right. Well, thank you guys for your participation. I'll turn it over to PHP staff, but I think we've gone through all the action items, approved them as being under the ordinance, and with, you know, just changes to organizational and or clarificational language.
Yep.
Yeah, I think this has been a good experience. Obviously, it's the first time we're doing this. I think some notes I made for myself are, I think moving forward, it'd be helpful to number the items so we can refer to them by number and note who proposes each item so that
mm-hmm.
we know what idea came from who. I think that also the committee had issues with the action items that started with concern. So
mm-hmm.
I think that as a practice, we want to move away from using concern as a verb and try to, when it comes up in conversation, to dilute it to a specific action or change. And I think that that will
mm-hmm.
make everyone's role a bit easier. And then I think the
yep.
last thing is that you don't need to actually make a motion to group it. You can give direction to us as staff and we can group things. It
oh,
just changes
okay.
how we're presenting it. If you want
yep.
to change the action item itself, you can make a motion to do that. But I do anticipate a lot of these will end up being modified between the action item list and what actually goes into letters. But by all means, cleaning up language is always a valuable exercise.
Yeah, I feel very comfortable with what you just proposed.
I agree.
Agreed.
Great. So are we all set?
I think so.
PHP. All right. Thank you all for your participation, and I look forward to seeing you at the next meeting.
Yeah. Me too. Have a good afternoon.
Thanks, everybody.
Bye-bye, everybody.
Thanks.